We're going to stick with the Iowa caucuses for a few minutes. I'm joined by two Iowa journalists who were involved in covering the intense campaigning in their state. Mary Sharp is Iowa editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Welcome to the program, Mary.
Hi, Robert.
And Brett Hayworth is political reporter for the Sioux City Journal. Brett, you there?
Yes. Hello.
And first, I'd like both of you to give us a little help with some Iowa political geography. Brett, Sioux City, far west of the state, how does it typically vote?
Right. We're right at the intersection of where Missouri River goes by Nebraska, South Dakota, and Iowa meet. And the city is fairly split between Republicans and Democrats, but the area that our newspaper covers is prime Republican territory. Virtually every county outside of here goes Republican and very heavily Republican.
And Cedar Rapids, Mary Sharp, that's about 300 miles to the east of Des Moines. And politically?
Iowa City and Cedar Rapids are Democratic cities. The rural areas surrounding them tend to be Republican with some exceptions.
Well, Mary, from what you've seen in your part of the state, first of all, and you have some basis for comparison, having been around for a few caucuses, would you say it's especially enthusiastic this year? And if so, whom are they enthusiastic about?
It's been an incredible caucus season with tons of ads, hundreds of candidate visits, and lots of chatter, though some people are just now starting to get interested in talk about who they might caucus for. We anticipate a record turnout, a lot of first-time caucus goers, lots of questions, and probably no results until very late the night of January 3rd.
Brett Hayworth, out in your neck of the woods, what sense do you have of the enthusiasm for these caucuses?
I'd say it's very, very high, especially among, and it's kind of odd, but Democrats have been drawing much larger crowds than Republicans, and again, this is prime Republican territory, so that's somewhat curious. But definitely for the Huckabee campaign and for the top three polling Democrats, lots and lots of enthusiasm.
To what extent do you, Brett, do you hear people saying, I'm for this candidate or the other because that's the one who's more likely to win for my party in November? Or to what extent do you hear Iowans couching their preferences in terms of real specific issues and positions?
I think you're referencing electability there, and that's something that people are starting to talk a little bit more about. And I'm seeing a lot of people that have made up their mind, a few undecideds yet. And if you ask a person, why did you like Mike Huckabee at this event, or why did you like Hillary Clinton at this event, they're able to whip off some specifics very readily, as I heard this in this speech, or this position has always worked well for me. And so certainly there are some people that have not yet made up their mind. But most people that I've talked to recently have pretty much settled on their candidate.
Have settled. And Mary Sharp, what do you hear in terms of why they've settled? Is it electability? Is it a particular issue? What do you hear most?
Boy, it's all over the board. So many people have seen these people and listened to them. And they're all just really well-spoken and thoughtful people. And in any caucus, the differences between the candidates in the same party aren't that great. So people start talking about personality or warmth or the potential for change. You hear that a lot. And as Brett said, electability is certainly being talked about a lot in the ads and by the people.
Before I let the two of you go, I just want you to share a little bit of Iowa caucus experience with us. We're a week away from the caucuses. Given history and given what you sense now, how common are surprises when people say they've settled on someone? Does it mean they've settled on them? Do you look at polls as pretty good predictors of what happens, or how far off can they be, Mary Sharp?
They can be way off. A lot of people have cell phones now. They don't show up in the polls. A lot of the first-time caucus goers may not even be registered voters at this point. It's very difficult to predict.
Can they register between now and the caucuses?
Yes, they can register the night of the caucuses. Mm-hmm. And independents can go in and change their registration the night of the caucuses. It's wildly unpredictable. And for the Democrats, the thing in play is, as you know, is the viability. And if perhaps Christopher Dodd or Joe Biden and your group isn't viable, which way do you go? This whole emphasis on being the second choice has, I think, probably John Edwards has worked that as well as anyone because he understands it. He's been through this before.
Because if Dodd or Biden or one of the others were to come in with fewer than 15% of the caucus goers at a particular caucus, he's off the boards there, and then his supporters would go elsewhere. And you say the Edwards people seem to have worked that angle pretty well?
That's my impression.
And Brett, your sense of how surprising the caucuses can be after all the coverage and all the polls and what people tell you?
It's always a matter of turnout. It could be bad weather. There's always been this talk that this goes up against the Orange Bowl football game that evening. So while you might on December 20th think you have your man or your woman that you want to support, maybe when it comes to that night, you may not turn out. And so it's all about turnout. And certainly there can be surprises that don't go anywhere near where the polls are.
Well, Brett Hayworth, political reporter for the Sioux City Journal, and Mary Sharp, Iowa editor for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you,
Robert.